All right, y'all.
Welcome to A World More Beautiful. I'm really excited to gather tonight with you all this afternoon, whatever time zone you're in. I haven't done anything like this in a long time, so it feels really sweet to have a small crew that's like meeting and moving through some deep transformative healing work together in a virtual space. Some of you may have been on more of my workshops, which, you know, usually have like 50 people. So this is not that. The intention is really that we're going to be co-creating space together. It's going to be participatory. It's a, you know, space and time for you all to bring up what's coming up for you, and also to hear patterns of what's happening collectively in our movements for change. Hello, Kara. Welcome. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. So yeah, it's going to be sweet. One of the requests was that you were able to spend at least 75% of your time to show up to our every other Monday sessions. So hopefully that will all pan out and work out. Your participation is key. So for each other as much as for yourself. My name is Yardena. Hi. I know some of you, but I don't know a lot of you. So I'm really excited to get to know you more. I will share just a brief little bit about me. I've been doing work at the intersections of healing, justice, and spirituality for over 10 years. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I am a parent of two small children. I run a project called Liberation School South, which is a spirituality and healing school based in the South for U.S. Southern folks. And what else? I'm a writer. I just put out a book for white people around social justice and racial justice and showing up and centering practice and healing. And I just live for and like am on this earth for helping create transformative spaces for folks to connect with each other and to connect to just the power that we all bring, but oftentimes there's not a lot of space to celebrate, acknowledge, and do that work. So that's my work. I'm like the supporter, the support person behind the scenes often when it comes to our movements for change. I've spent a lot of time on the front lines and have, you know, moved to more of the behind the lines, helping to support the folks that are there and the folks that are there alongside with me, which I'm sure many of you all have many different ways you're showing up for social justice. So excited to learn more about that from you all. I think when we're not talking, you just want to be on mute. You can find the mute if you're on video. It's up in the top right side. And with your phone, it's kind of like any other conference call. It's like star six. Or mute if you have an iPhone or some other kind of smartphone. I think you can just mute yourself. What else did I say about tech? I had shared, and I know others of you have arrived since I shared, I'm going to be audio recording our sessions for folks who have to miss. It looks like we're all here, but I will just go ahead and audio record in case folks have to jump off earlier or something happens and you're missing a session, just so that you can be able to have that. But I'm not sharing out the video, so no worries about what you look like or what you're doing. What else? I think that's all. Does anybody have any questions about the tech stuff? Everybody good? Okay. I'll tell you about the agenda for the evening. We're going to do a grounding. I asked everybody to bring an item that represents where you are right now as a way to get to know each other a little bit better. and we're going to move into that next. We're going to do a story sharing exercise around the world we want to build. And then we're going to go over some ground rules, how we want to be in space together over these next so many weeks. And then I'm going to just briefly go over, I sent out the syllabus of kind of how we're going to move and if there's any questions around that. And then we'll have time to go a little bit deeper into some content in terms of where we are in our own healing journeys and what it is that we want to center, lift up right now, work on, change, move, make commitments to. So that is our evening. We are going to take a little break to get some water, do some movement in the middle and in the end and middle. So I'm so glad everybody's here. Everyone has arrived. And we have two folks on the phone. So we'll just be mindful of folks on the phone. So let's just take a moment to ground into our bodies first. So you can sit up tall. Close your eyes if you want to, or just gently gaze downward. And just take a few breaths naturally into your body. Just notice how you feel. Just observe the natural inhale and exhale and the space in between. And if there's any tension or holding on in your body that you immediately are recognizing, maybe in your jaw, your shoulders, or whatever, you can bring some movement into it and just invite some play, some release. And just take three more breaths and just cycle up and down along the spine. So just imagining the breath traveling up, all the way up, just, and then all the way back down again. And then observe the temperature of the space that you're in. And when you're ready, you can ease out by blinking, open your eyes. I'm veering slightly off the agenda now because I do want to open up with just this quote. So we did have a new moon yesterday, which is in Virgo, and I do follow astrology. I'm not an astrologist by any sense, but I did want to bring in some of the cycles of what's happening astrologically because it's helpful. And I follow a lot of different folks. I follow Chani Nichols, and I work intensely with this book called Many Moons, which has been happening. I don't know how long it's been out, but they do 6 month cycles. Anyway, it just happens that this month or this past new moon, there's different contributors who also contribute to this book. And this month is Adrienne Marie Brown, who some of you all know. She wrote Emergent Strategy. Anyway, so this moon in Virgo is very structured. It's a lot about planning and organization. And we have just exited out of a summer of a lot of chaos. Which is kind of the state of our world right now. But that also reflects internally as well. And we, you know, had Mercury retrograde, had eclipse season, things were like all upside down. And we have exited out of that. However, the remnants remain of the cycles, the ways of being that we're really being asked to break out of. And that's individual and collective. So anyway, Virgo is this, you know, really structured, kind of organizational kind of approach to things. And Virgo is really asking us to make some choices and decisions and to really adopt those fully. So Adrian says, in terms of this new moon that we just had, we get to shape ourselves for the world we are generating. We are the front lines of all the change we wish to bring into the world. Each of us is a microcosm of all the possible justice, liberation, pleasure, and honesty in the universe. Act accordingly. So I love that. I love that, and I'll share that out with you all with the notes from tonight with the recording. But I love that because that's how I approach transformative leadership work. That's how I approach healing and spirituality work. Everything that's happening inside is happening outside of us. It's all connected. And this act accordingly, like that's such a gift and also like a call up of, you know, we have a choice and we need to embody our bodies and embody our choices and embody our values. And there's a lot that gets in the way of that, which you all know. And we'll be diving into that. So, all right. I'm going to take a pause there. And I'd love for us each to open up kind of as though we were like setting up a collective altar of sorts or a space of intention. And we'll each have about a minute. Just be mindful of that. In terms of where you are. So really want to know your name, where you're calling from, and if that's the place you're living, just to help us place everybody, and then offer your item, which you can show in the screen, or you can just describe what it is. And then just tell us a little bit about why you chose it. Any questions about that? No? Okay. Who would like to be the brave first?
I'll go first. So I'm Anna. I don't know how to change my name on the screen, but my pronouns are she and her. I'm calling from Memphis, which is where I live. My object is a bowl, but I'm also holding a really sweet kitten, which is why I'm very distracted. They're like running around, but my object is this bowl that I have that I got at a fair a few years ago, and I guess I'm feeling like kind of like I don't know what to do and that I have a lot of space to fill up. So I guess that's why I picked this. Yep. So that's my is it all the questions?
Okay. Thank you so much, Anna.
I can go. My name is Willa, and I'm calling from San Diego, where I've been living the last couple of years, and I'll get into this more, but the organization that brought me here is moving its home to Sacramento in the next couple of weeks, so I feel like in a lot of transition and a lot of goodbyes are happening. And anyways, yesterday I was with a friend and I got this carnelian sort of egg that is very comforting to hold in my hand. So that's bringing me comfort. And it also is the second chakra, which I just feel like for me, there's lots of transformation in what I want to be creating, how I want to be creating, and needing to take more action in a time when I felt a lot of paralysis around being seen and being witnessed for what I care about most and putting myself out in the world more. So holding on to this stone and offering it to the altar.
Thanks, Will.
I'll go. I'm Jenny, and I'm calling from Oakland. I just moved into a new apartment, and my friend brought over some sunflowers. Here are the sunflowers. And I'm sharing these sunflowers because I am, for the first time in a long time, in a pretty good, juicy place, like a place that feels sort of like that end of the summer place where there is a lot of abundance, and it's really ripe, but it also is that feeling of like when you have really beautiful produce and you know you can't eat all of it, or you have like some fruit on the counter and you know some of it's going to go bad. You like want to soak it all up, but you can't, and you can only share, like you share what you share. But mainly just like really excited about the abundance, but also this very keenly aware that it's going to come to an end, and not knowing really when or how, but knowing that, and not being that present in the abundance because of that. So those are some things I'm sitting with right now.
Thanks, Jenny.
Did this come on? Oh, this is, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Okay. Hi, I'm Megan. I use she, her pronouns. I am in Brooklyn, New York, but our next session, I will be literally moving to the Boston area. So we'll be joining you at the third session onwards from Somerville, Mass. I brought some, like Jenny, some beautiful flowers. I never get flowers, and I thought these were so gorgeous. I think they're phlox, and this is just like trying to remind myself to slow down and see the beautiful things when so much is in transition and sort of change right now in my life.
Thanks, Megan.
I can go. This is Rebecca, she, her, hers. I'm calling right now from Lompoc, California, on the Central Coast, near where I lived for a long time. I actually live in Atlanta now, after 13 years in New York, so, but I think most of the other times will be from Atlanta. The item that I have, so there's a lot going on for me, and I took the prompt of choosing something that would represent this moment. And so I have this magnet that I got at the Madonna Inn, which is this crazy touristy place on the Central Coast. There's a really garish goblet and pink cake, and if you shake it, there's glitter and a little cupid, and it says, "Wish you were here." And I got this because my 17-year-old son, Oscar, was killed 3 years ago. And this is where he lived. This is where I had him. And I'm in a space right now of trying to figure out life. It's not just about him and grief around losing him. There's a lot of like work and personal fulfillment, but this, you know, trying to say it most concisely, you know, trying to be in a space where I'm like living in the moment and really appreciating it. And my partner says, you know, if you do something cool and I feel sad because I think Oscar would have loved this, then that's saying that you're doing something that's pretty cool. But it's also this like weird thing where I'm like, you shake it up and it's like trapped and it feels very like crystallized and it doesn't feel totally real or authentic. So yeah. And it's a little window kind of looking out. So.
Lots of love to you, Rebecca. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Can you hear me? My name's Kara, and I am in Columbia, South Carolina, where I live. My pronouns are she and her. And the item that I have to offer is my beautiful darling cat, Celeste. You can kind of see. She's just a little white and tabby cat, who I think is really important for me right now, because she's purring, which is like my favorite sound in the world and like one of the most healing sounds for me. And also she's just like an assertive little bitch, you know? When she needs something, she asks for it. So I feel like that's a really beautiful combination.
Thanks, thank you, Kara. Are you done? Okay.
Did you hear me talk about Celeste?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there was just like a video thing that happened that I was like, wasn't sure. Okay. Thank you.
I can go. I'm on the phone, so it's hard to know. Is that all right? Or is someone else jumping in?
Nope. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Kat, and I'm calling today. I'm in San Francisco. I'm outdoors to do this. And I live in Oakland and in Minnesota, kind of some time in each. And I brought and bring as an offering, my pronouns are she and her, hers, a rune stone that came up for me this morning during kind of my morning alone and prayer time. And this one is a stone which really talks about the great teacher disguised as pain and limitation. And it was powerful to me that this came up for me this morning as I was thinking about the object to bring, actually, because I picked my father's obituary at first. And I think this stone is more the kind of the teaching and the place I'm in. This past year, I, you know, coordinated hospice and the transition as my dad passed and he passed away, as did a dear colleague and another member of a chosen family. And it was just kind of a triple whammy. I mean, I'm in that grief and I've been experiencing changes in I have a disability that has had a lot of increased pain before they got sick. And so this whole thing, I'm really living in a lesson around pacing for darn sure, and around things that I've intended and wanted to shift and transform in myself that there's no option than to now, given that I'm experiencing some of these things and allowing myself to experience them. So I offer up this stone, which is called Nautis, and that's how I was taught to say it, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. I can go next. I'm Melissa. She, her, hers. And I'm in Philadelphia. And my office is in Chicago, but I live in Philadelphia. And I travel a lot for work as well. So I brought this mug that has my name on it. And I got it while traveling for work in the West Bank. And I chose it because it's my name. I've really in the last few years come to ground myself and do a lot of work around becoming more integrated spiritually and in my body. And so that pulls me back to myself and to the spirit. And the mug, it holds a lot. I feel like right now the reason I'm here in this space is my job is working with human rights workers. I'm a spiritual director here in Philadelphia, very part-time, but also
work with human rights workers around the world with Christian Peacemaker teams. And I'm the care coordinator, psychosocial and spiritual care coordinator. So my mug is full of stories and traumas. And I really need to, I just really want to figure out some more ways of holding that and not having it sit and stay with me. So I'm really grateful for this space. It's great to meet all of you, and I look forward to this. Thank you. Check.
Thanks, Melissa. Oops. I can go since I'm unmuted. I don't have to be last. I brought a seed packet. Talendala, is that how you say it? That a friend gave me this summer in Massachusetts, actually. I did a road trip with my kids. My name is Yardena. She, her, hers pronouns. And I've been going through a lot of transition this year, especially, and I'm about to move into a new house next week, which has been like 9 months coming. It's like the third place that I've tried to move into. So I was like, wow, I'm like have these seeds now that I can plant, and I'm not a gardener, but I'm gonna learn how to garden because there's quite a garden at this place that I'm moving into. And and that feels really good. I think it's also interesting because my mother is a gardener. No, I would say was a gardener. Now she's like not into it, but when we were growing up, she was a gardener. And my mother and I have a lot of healing in our relationship to do. So I feel like gardening is also going to be part of that too. Abigail, you're saying that your connection is bad. We can see you. Are you trying to speak? But we can hear you.
I can just offer, that's why I called in, because I can talk on the phone and then you can still see me, but.
Gotcha, Will. Thanks. Maybe just one device right now. Do you want to write it out, Abigail, and I can read it? Yeah, that works. I'm sorry. We have someone else to go. Erin?
Yeah, hi. I'm Erin. I live in Philadelphia. Right now I'm here 4 years. The object that I chose is actually this card that I got. Well, I guess it's an image more so, and I have it on a little altar that I keep. This of a single person, like going towards the moon. Sorry, I'm feeling really, I'm just very fresh or raw right now. So yeah, that's how I'm coming to this space. And I can't help it. So.
Yeah. Thanks for showing up, Erin. Just exactly how you are. Okay. I think that's everybody except for Abigail. Are you writing, Abigail? Okay. I'm Abby. I'm from Western Massachusetts. I'm sitting in my house right now. I was going to share my cat,
but she's downstairs. So I brought a small statue I got in Brazil of the Afro-Brazilian deity Axosi of African origin. This is in the line of self-knowledge, and it's important to me because I'm trying to adopt a better practice of listening to and trusting myself and loving myself. I live in the forest, and this deity is also in line with the forest. Awesome. Thank you, Abby. Yeah, the forest is a beautiful place to be, and it might have some connection issues. Nice. Thank you. All right, let's just take a moment. I feel like there was like several folks who kind of brought a bit of like the image of bowls and cups and just like this, I'm feeling like this, just this collective like bowl that we've just kind of created and crafted together in terms of a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of hope, a lot of resilience, a lot of people holding a lot of stories. So let's take a moment and check in with yourself. Again, you can like gaze downward, close your eyes if you wish. You can move, you can be still. Let's really check in and just do, be, say internally the most nourishing thing you can right now to yourself. So if that's some kind of movement, if that's some stillness, if that's some breathing, if that's grabbing some water right now. And just really holding your story with all of these stories and all the stories that everybody else is holding with an acknowledgement. My hope is that in this space that we can go slower than we normally go. So I really do encourage care-centered. So if you need to get up and do something, please do it. I encourage eating, drinking tea, dance breaks, all the things. Okay, and come back if you close your eyes. Okay, so I have been working a lot with change makers, specifically around this question of care and healing and spirit, and how do we show up for movements for change for the long haul when there's so much oppression in the world, and then there's so much oppression often internally, which often calls us to social justice movements for the in the first place, and. I feel like we're really good around critique. We're really good around critiquing ourselves and really good at critiquing what isn't happening in our change-making work, in movements for change, and like in our care work and our spiritual work and all the things, right? But we're not like the best at really imagining the world we need and want. And that often can feel, I think that overwhelm kind of like scrunches us in this place of limited imaginations, because we're here and like thinking about like the future or like what we're trying to build can feel so out of reach. And as was represented already, there's so much beauty that does exist right now. There's so much tenderness and beauty that each of you shared with your items, with your stories, with your presence. So we're going to reflect on that throughout our sessions together, is really like what's happening now, like what are we already embodying what exists around us. How are we beautiful? And what's beautiful about the work or our lives as we're doing this thing, showing up. I want, before I go into the next thing, though, I would love to just set some ground rules around how we want to be. So I did mention care-centered. Again, I'm like really, really serious about that. Really want you all to take care and to know that this is a space for that. another thing is around really being participatory and embodied as much as possible. If you just observe like what's happening for yourself, if you, I think a lot of us sit in meetings or are on Zoom calls or whatnot, and we can neglect our bodies in the process of that. We have to use the restroom, or like if the way we're sitting is not feeling quite right, we'll just like endure it because we're like, oh, I'm on this thing for 2 hours, you know? So just really encouraging you to check in with your body, and I'll remind us in these sessions as well, just really check in. Like, okay, how am I doing? Do I need to adjust, shift, or change something? Another offering is to remain curious, both about yourself, but also about with others. Again, I don't think we need to like bring the critique of ourselves to the space. I mean, it will arrive. I wish I hadn't said that thing in that way, but maybe just offering, okay, I'm going to remain curious about that. Like, okay, that's interesting that I feel that way. What's that about for me? You know, or, oh, wow, this person said this thing and it made me feel a certain way, and to remain curious about it, but not to attach, to meaning and story that takes us out. And then the other one I want to say is to speak from I, but to consider the collective. All of you identify in some way as change makers or, you know, committed to making change in the world, whether that's been your past work, your current work, but you're doing something at the intersections of spirituality, healing, and justice, or you are that. And there can be some imposter syndrome in that, like, oh, I'm not doing as much, or my job isn't this, or all of that. However, I would say that, you know, kind of like what Adrian lifted up, like we are microcosms of the macro realities. And so all of you belong here, and all of you have something to contribute. And we don't have to qualify our experiences or our work or our challenges or our lives to each other or to ourselves. Because oftentimes what will happen is that what we're dealing with individually is actually what's happening collectively in a pattern. Our collective experience is a lot more, there's a lot more collective experiences happening. In that we experience as an individual experience. It's not really so individual. So anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, speak from the I, but also consider the collective. And then on another note on that, you know, speak from the I, and in the sense of, you know, we don't want to assume that we know someone's story or to speak for them, and to stay really like open to what the other person has to say or is really saying or meaning. And then I kind of like went, I kind of totally just zoomed over this, which is that I did want us to share our pronouns. And the way that you do that on the Zoom is that up on the upper right, is that true? No. Okay. I think you touch your name. You touch your name with the arrow. And then at the very lower, lower kind of box, it says rename. And so you can put your name there, and then you can rename yourself with your pronouns. It's just helpful for folks to know and to really be able to see and hear the fullness of you and where you're coming from. And then I had mentioned this before, but you know, I move from an anti-oppression perspective and foundation, which doesn't mean that like I have it all figured out and I'm perfect. But what it does mean is that I will often bring in, and hope you will as well, the ways that oppression is working in the world systemically, but also an acknowledgement of the ways that that shows up individually and interpersonally. And so we'll touch on that as we move. Those are my main framings and groundings. Does anybody have anything to add or share that they feel like needs to be said or added? Covered? Okay. Well, if something comes up, you can use the chat or email me or, okay. I think I just want to go over the thing I sent to you today about the syllabus real quick. So we can just kind of get all the business stuff out of the way and then move into some more juicy getting to know and also healing stuff. I'm going to screen share, which isn't completely necessary, I think, for folks who are on the phone. I don't know that you'll be missing a ton. I feel like I explained things well, maybe, on the audio. Welcome, if you're able to listen to that. I think it's extremely helpful to actually look at the website link that I sent while also listening to the audio. But I just want, I feel like there's one maybe confusing part. Let me pull this up. Okay, I'm going to screen share now. I think I was going to. Share, there we go. Okay. Okay, you all can see that? Great, okay. So this is just a link that has all the information on it, and okay, so right here, this is the audio that just kind of explains all this, basically. Welcome to a world more beautiful. Download your guidebook here. So I highly encourage you actually to, you can click on that, but then you can go up here and you can file once it loads. You can save as, and you can save it to your desktop. So you don't have to keep going to this link. I encourage you not to really look through the whole thing, which you might have already done, but just to go by section. And this is the I think what potentially could be the confusing part. So there's actually more than 7 weeks. I said like, oh, we're meeting for 7 weeks. And like, we are kind of, but there's also more than just 7 weeks. I've broken up the sections into the part one healing has 3 parts. And so we're on week one right now. And so these pages 1 through 7, my suggestion is like, this is what we do this week, right? Not what you have had to have done by today, obviously. Okay. And then week 2, which is starting on Monday, you complete pages 8 through 9, so that when we meet September 24th, you will have completed up to page 9. And then we'll cover that content. And then week 3, which is the week that we meet, you will then do these pages, 10 through 12. So not that you have to do these pages by the time we meet the 24th, if that makes sense. For the first part, there's 2 practices that I'm offering and suggesting, and they're both energetically about just kind of like tunneling in and going into pain, but also the liberation that exists within your body. And you can practice those daily. You can try those out once, just an offering. Then part 2, forgiveness. We also is also broken up into three sections. And again, so when we meet October 8th, it will just have been covered what we covered, you know, up to week four. For this part two, the meditations are a little different here, that they each accompany an aspect or a component of it. And so I just ask that you do the meditations when that page arrives, and it'll clearly tell you. And then part three, radical love, we have two weeks that are cover that. And this part's missing some of the content that I'm going to be sharing out. It wasn't quite ready for the whole guidebook yet. So that will come when we arrive to that section. And then November 5th and beyond, you'll have some additional kind of just reflection questions around your time with the content. And then there are three practices. Two of them are kind of accompanying practices, and then one, uncovering my affirmations, goes along with the pages. So I'm done screen sharing. Did anybody feel confused? Everybody feel clear about what's happening? Any questions?
So if we download it onto our desktop, we can fill it out.
Yeah.
Rather than having to print it.
Yeah, everything's fillable virtually. So you should be able to click your little mouse in there, and then you can just type things out. The sections are only so big. So you can save it and it will save, but like when you actually like look at it, if you were to print it out, it would only print out what was in that section, even if it went beyond that in a virtual way. That makes sense. Any other questions? Okay. All right. There's also a Facebook group, which some people really like that to have more connection on, and I'll definitely be there if things arise. I'll try to facilitate some connection and conversation, but it's really up to y'all if you want to participate, if that's a medium that feels good and right to you. So don't feel like you're missing something if you're not on Facebook, or if you don't want to interact with Facebook, or if it's just another thing that just feels overwhelming, like please, like just don't even. So it's just really there as another touching point. And then you all have my email address, and then you'll receive weekly emails from me, sometimes several, just with more content and more reflection questions, and the audio recording I'll send tomorrow. I think that's all. Try to be a good communicator. Let me know if anything is arising for you. Okay. So that's all on that. Thank you all for arriving here with me today. When I was really considering like what to do this fall, I had mentioned before I've done a lot of virtual workshops that have a lot of folks, but I used to do a lot more of this, and I haven't done it for a long time. So I feel really curious and excited to be here with you all and to get to know you better. We're going to do a practice now. It's a storytelling practice, and this is how it works. So we'll take a moment just to ground in again, and then you'll have, you know, about a minute and a half. And it kind of goes how it went before, where folks will just kind of jump in with your part of the story. Okay. So be creative, be fun, be spontaneous, or just, you know, say whatever's on your mind. All right. So you can close your eyes if you want to, or not if you do not want to. Take a few breaths.
Okay, it is the end of the world. And you are in a place, the end of the world, and these folks that we're all on a Zoom call with in this World More Beautiful program are the people who are around. So if you know someone, then you have a bit of an advantage because you can bring them in specifically to do something. But it's end of the world, and these are the people you show up, and like everything is like new, and also like everything's different, and there's a lot of change. And what are you gonna do, or what is happening at this end of the world that we're imagining the end / beginning? And it's not to say that we're the only people here, but we're the only people in the same like space together. So take another moment. Doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be everything. You can open your eyes when you're ready. And we can begin telling the story of the end of the world. If someone is feeling particularly brave, then they can go first. Otherwise, I will jump in and start us off. I'll give a moment.
We are all underneath water, but we can breathe underneath the water.
There's a lot of tenderness and just melting and turning towards each other.
There's a huge puddle. It's a little bit, it's not quite a pond. It comes up to just past folks' knees. And some people are bathing in it, and some people are splashing in it, and some people are kind of crocodile swimming in it. And the light is golden. And then Anna decides to just like throw up the water in the air, and it's like these droplets of like golden light because the sun is like hitting it and it's like splashing all over the place, and it's just like gorgeous and beautiful, and everybody's just like bathing in this golden light, this water, these droplets. And the droplets
become seeds, which immediately flower if they don't need soil and time. They just start flowering. But as they're in the air, they're also being blown around by the wind. So we are kind of being showered by new flowers and the earth, as it's changing, becomes a like kind of air floating field of flowers.
I look at Jenny and we are so absolutely delighted by the water that's under our feet and the flowers that are all around us in the air and on the earth. And when we look at our eyes or use our eyes to look beyond the petal, we see just this landscape of the most beautiful rolling hills. And we feel like all of the conversations that we've had over the last couple of years of like agony and stress and confusion, like we feel this clearing of possibilities and real presence to the beauty that's all around us and this lightness of like all of this fear that I carried in my body is released because I had carried all of this fear around ending, but what I saw around me was just the absolute beginning of something more beautiful than I could have imagined.
Abby says, a planet forms on the air floating field of flowers and all of their petals open up, one for each of us. And we climb up the stems to sit on the petals and we look at one another with wonder and excitement.
And then as we're sitting on the petals, we like look at each other and start snapping our fingers and start singing. And we don't care if we have a good voice or not, we just continue singing. And for some of us, maybe we're not singing, we're just silently humming or just sitting there. And we're just floating.
We're floating and the sunshine is really warm and healing and calming and makes everything feel new.
I think it's me. And we, our fears disappear and we can hold on to the hope that lives in other people when we don't have it. Jenny, do you want to, did you already go? Do you want to close this out?
I didn't go, but I sort of wasn't going to for some reason. But I
that's okay. You don't have to. I can.
I'll try to go. Okay. I'm imagining all of this work that everyone here is. Has put into this vision, and I feel sort of like the minute that you started talking, I immediately like went into a trance and felt really tired, but in a good way. Like I felt like everyone else was sort of building and I was sleeping. And now I want to support everyone in their building. And I imagine just like this incredible end of the summer abundance, and I have everyone is working together to build this vision, and I am just like cooking a storm of the most beautiful like intergalactic like glowing foods for everyone to sample after they have just like put in this like crazy like matriarch work into building this new world and future. And like about to take off, and it's sort of like a new version of the Last Supper or something.
Thank you, Jenny. I take a deep breath. Observe the places in your body that feel open and the places that feel closed. And the places in your spirit that feel open and the ones that feel closed. The places in your mind that feel open and the places that feel closed. That is just a fun, like, cultural sharing tool that I've used a lot, especially when it's like, okay, it's the end of the world, and like we are the people who are in this something together, which oftentimes can be people who don't know each other, and it can feel super awkward and uncomfortable to build a story with the folks that we don't really know, or like, how vulnerable should I be or not? And like, what are people going to think about me and all of that? And, you know, we do that every day. We just like get in the muck and the mess with people that we don't know. And oftentimes it's about survival and not about thriving or imagining or visioning. So anyway, that's a little tool to use in your next staff meeting, or I don't know, facilitation session or whatnot. So I just want to encourage folks, we're going to take a break for about five-ish minutes. Let's see. We're going to come back at 8:15. And that's 8:15 Eastern time. That's 7:15 Central time. That's 4:15 Pacific time. No, 5:15. 5:15. Okay. Yeah, get some water. Make sure you have a journal, because we are going to go do some journal. I did ask if you had some like coloring things to bring those. It's not necessary. We're going to start something that we're not going to finish tonight, but maybe have this available. So you can just, you know, stop your video, keep your video on, have fun on your break, and I'll see you in a minute.
Welcome back, folks. Slowly. Rebecca did message me and just said that she had to go, but she'll listen to the recording and we'll be here longer next time. So. All right. I think most of us are back now. Kat, you're with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the final kind of part of tonight is really just to hear more from each other around what is our healing work, maybe not personally, but collectively or in our work right now. But I wanted to start with this kind of an opening. I'm sure some of you have read this book. It's called My Grandmother's Hands. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. My Grandmother's Hands, Racialized Trauma and the Pathways to Mending Our Hearts and Bodies. Anyway, in just the very beginning of the opening, there's this, says, is talking about the chaos in our culture and in our world right now. It says the real battlefield is inside our bodies. If we are to survive as a country, it is inside of our bodies where this conflict will need to be resolved. So in thinking about or considering our bodies, our like physical, spiritual, emotional bodies, how is your body or the body of work that you're a part of? What's the state of healing right now? The healing that's needed, the healing that's happening. This is an opportunity also to place yourself a little bit more in terms of what kind of work you do. So in terms of the body of work that you do inside of your body or the body of work that you're doing, what is the state of healing that's needed or the healing that's happening?
Would you read that quote again, please?
Yes. Just the context was around, it was talking about like the political state that we're in right now. And it, actually the before that quote, it says, at first glance, today's manifestation of this conflict appears to be a struggle for political and social power. However, and then it just kind of goes down. The real battlefield is inside of our bodies. If we are to survive as a country, it is inside of our bodies where this conflict will need to be resolved.
Can you also just repeat the prompt one more time?
No, it's complicated. I'm asking you to think metaphorically, which maybe it's too late for some of us to do that. In terms of our body, so like our physical, emotional, or spiritual bodies, like what's the state of the healing that's needed or that's happening right now for you, or metaphorically for the work that you're doing? I can begin. I'm asking the question. I have some insight on it. I would say that from my standpoint, the state of healing that's needed is that we need to really visualize healing is needed. And that there's often not space in our organizations, in our culture, for healing to happen. You know, for us to cry, to grieve, to struggle. And I am also a container of a lot of stories, and there are a lot of stories of change makers who are in the front lines, behind the lines, you know, doing care work, spiritual work, etc. And what I hear from a lot of people is a lot around isolation and feeling an aloneness in this. And that if they feel grief, if they feel tired, if they feel that then they feel guilt and shame for not being able to show up because other people are more traumatized, or other people have more oppression, or you know, other people. So I hear a lot of that. I see a lot of that, and I see the ways that we're starting to open up to the reality that we need individuals, like we need some healing, and we need time and space to be able to do that, and also collectively. And I think it's been a conversation that's been happening for a long time, and something that, but it's still very marginal, and it still feels very queer, like outside of the norm. It still feels a little uncomfortable. When I even consider my own personal, you know, story, there's still, I think we experience and we replicate a lot of martyrdom in how we do change-making work. And everything is about the other person. And it's hard for us to see the connection that what's happening inside of us, what we're enduring, or what we personally are pushing through, and how that's related to the collective. Those are some of my musings. Anybody else?
Thanks for sharing. I think something I'm sitting with a lot right now is I feel that I have a lot of people around me that are intellectually on that level and that are having a really elevated conversation around the need for healing and the interconnectedness of healing and social movements, but harder to be in practice because there are really so few people that are, even though there's a lot of people that are leading this kind of work, not every circle you're in has a leader in that work. You know, you can go, not every space you go into to have a conversation wants to start with a grounding exercise or, you know, a moment to really dive into like what hurts that day or what's alive that day. So that's something that feels really hot for me right now, which is like people totally know what needs to happen, but don't know how to do it. And there's like impatience around getting to the fruits of what doing it even looks like.
I can go. I work as a community health nurse for people who have experienced homelessness, mental illness, and or substance use in Philadelphia. And so I work with case managers, psychiatrist, nurse practitioner, and we've been responding to like the opiate epidemic because that's where all the money is right now in our federal government. And I feel like there's this incessant need and incessant demand, and we get this from like all avenues. We get this from our participants, from each other, and then from like the people paying us, so the government. And it's like everyone needs to have some type of boundary, including myself, but there's so much need. And like for example, I have, there's a gentleman that I took to an appointment, and I took him and got him some like Burger King, so not even like nourishing food. And I asked him the last time he ate, and it was Sunday, and we ate on Wednesday. And so it's, he's like prioritizing his addiction because that's what he knows. But like, I just feel like there's so much need, and maybe I feel that in myself too, or I feel that I feel like there's so much need for rest and boundaries, or like acceptance of limitations in certain areas. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I also think when it comes to healing, I feel like there's this push and pull. Like, I think one of you two mentioned, like, there's an awareness that it's needed, but it's not really quite, like, there isn't enough of investment in it from people. So I feel like drawn to it, but then how the rest of the world operates, or the rest of my organization or coworkers, it's really hard to try and maintain that because I'm like in this culture that's doing something completely different. So, yeah.
I'll go. I think when you were, Jordana, we were talking about how you feel in your body, I feel like kind of paralyzed, I think. I was doing some like reflective anti-oppression kind of work, and I just got so hung up on like, I don't know what to do. The things that used to be really natural became really difficult, and I became beyond self-aware, like just nervous to do something, afraid that I would mess up. I just get so like, I don't know, it's like just, I just feel like I can't do anything. And it's, then I feel shame for not doing things. And I work at a education nonprofit, and I'm in Memphis. The majority of the students that we work with are Black. I feel like that I'm able to show up in that. Like, I feel like the anti-oppression work is really important for that kind of work. And there's like never, I can never know enough to be effective, I think, or to feel like I'm doing, showing up in the way that I should at work. And then the work that I do outside of work used to be really important to me, and I feel like I've just stopped doing it because I don't know how to push through. So that's where I'm at.
Thanks for sharing, Nina. And Erin. Mm-hmm. And Jenny. Erin, are you doing laundry? Because I love that. Yeah. Okay, great. Erin's wanting laundry. I think you should continue.
I feel like for me, there's so much about integration. Like, I've been in a intensive, soul recovery spiritual community in California for the last couple of years. And been doing my like donor organizing work, and I feel like I sometimes, even with my own practices and daily practices and caring for myself, I'm like, well, this doesn't matter because I'm not doing enough in these bigger ways, or like I'm not worth it because these other bigger issues aren't being addressed by me in the way that I want them to be addressed. Even though so sort of like in my body, speaking to what's been spoken here, like how I know what I need to do intellectually, but then I like deprive myself of that or determine that it's not as important as the other things that I need to do, even as I see them not happening as well because I'm not feeling good inside of myself or understanding my innate goodness. That's like on a personal level. And then sort of the other piece of integration is like, how am I bringing an analysis to the work that I do, or an organization that I work with that doesn't have that analysis, knowing that they can gain something from the movement, and also the movement can gain something from the tools that we have here. So I see this like really natural position as a bridge builder that I'm in, but I can feel really floaty and lost instead of being grounded and like, oh, my body integrates a lot of different pieces, and seeing that as a, like being able to hold that as something that's a strength rather than something that's like, I'm just sort of lost, which is a narrative that I can go into. It's like, oh, I'm just lost and I don't belong anywhere.
Thank you, Willa. Is there anybody else that feels moved to share around it? We don't all have to.
Yeah, I think My Grandmother's Hands, the book that you referenced, has changed my life more than any other, you know, book or political theory or thing around healing. Because my body has always known it's like deeply traumatized, especially around like the conditioning of whiteness and the perfectionism and the individualism that comes with that. So I actually just did led a book club with my Showing Up for Racial Justice group in Central South Carolina. And it feels like everyone like understands that like white supremacy is in our bodies, but there's just like among white people this total sense of like, I have no clue how to like integrate this in my life, or like how much stock I should take in this versus like, you know, revolution and up, you know, overthrowing systems and things like that. I think so there's just like this giant, you know, WTF, but it still is like really real. And then also and I'm kind of feeling a lot of that too. Like it's so liberatory to like understand how racism lives in the body. And it's not just that you have to have this academic-y vocabulary, to like think yourself out of white supremacy, but it's also just, yeah, how do you I work, in nonprofit tennis, and tennis is like the epitome of white supremacy, in white people are still very much considered the standard, and in South Carolina we're segregated and tennis is still an elite white sport, even though it is a really accessible sport in terms of most anyone can play it, versus other sports at least. And so it's like, you know, most people still think racism is like solely a head thing. So like how in corporate settings and organizations, how do we like uproot white supremacy and acknowledge it as this bodily thing? So yeah, that's where I'm at with like this kind of healing.
I've been thinking a lot about grief, as I mentioned in my opening offering, and also before this year about how, and other people, a lot of people have been thinking about this too, but I entered an interfaith chaplaincy program actually to think about how we build like just ritual skill and presence and attention to release and letting go and letting things die. If we want white supremacy to die, we want to release our allegiance to it. What does it mean to do that? We're taught to buy more, get more. One wears out, where's to get the next? We have so many skills like that. So I've been thinking a lot about that. I've been thinking a lot about competition and as a lot of people in movements are talking about healing and just like, on one hand, like bowing down to the younger people because I feel the way that my movement life has been traumatizing in some ways. And I feel like I feel from some of the younger organizers just such an amazing and powerful and like demand. We're not going to be carrying forward these values and practices that are embedded in some of these places that are patriarchal and white supremacist and that sort of thing. And I really, really appreciate that. And I also feel like I get really competitive. And so like, yeah, I'm going to do the healing thing and embrace this and self-compassion and set some boundaries. And then I'll just go show up in the most baddest ass nonviolent direct action where my body's on the line that I can, just in case that's actually all bullshit. Like, I feel like it's kind of this wild, I think that's like that someone said something about the innate good and just honoring different roles in different times. And, my body feels kind of tight and I feel so much fear. I feel more fear now than I felt in my whole life. And I think it's the current climate and our collective fear as well as perimenopause or menopause, to be honest, like a chemical and collective mix. And so those are like really, I used to feel more like adventure and courage. And now I just kind of feel fear, which is like fight flight stuff, freeze. So I think those are, the other thing is like, I am seeing how heady we are, how in a lot of our places, like in my faith community, we're looking at alternatives to calling the police and like how heady it, rather than just our ability to connect and be vulnerable and care for each other. It feels so much less available than our analysis about what we need to do. And it's scary. So those are some things I've been thinking about.
Thank you for sharing, Kat. Unless I'm burningly, Abby shared, so I'm gonna lift that one up. Abby, I have a pretty solid spiritual practice and I engage in a lot of inner work and physical body care. I'm not at the point where I want to balance that with external actions, which are in alignment with my values and the world I envision. I also feel very called to the work of supporting others in their own self-care regimen, working with the dismantling of internalized depression and traumas, which prevent us from stepping fully into the way we want to manifest.
I can jump in too.
Okay.
So I think within my own body, I've been really struggling with taking like just physical time and creating ritual for myself. And it's been even harder given like that my kind of schedule and the like my daily life has been in transition for quite a while. And that like started with having a baby 2 years ago and I'm still like figuring out what's like mine in this, you know, in this situation. And there's really, you know, a need to like be able to create ritual and to be super flexible because I have very little my own like space and very little quiet. I thought there was going to be like screaming at the beginning. I was on mute, but like during bedtime. So like flexibility along with having some ritual. And in terms of the work, I've been working for the past 10 years with a social worker and with lawyers, doing first criminal defense and then civil defense and representation. And within social work, there's definitely a conversation about self-care, but self-care is like you go off and do it individually. And I think there's really a need for to like more healing collective spaces, because people can go and do the thing they do, but a lot of people don't have that thing, or it's like this work-life balance, and like the life part is where you do the other stuff, but like they're really, so there's not, that's not, it's not a binary, right? Or it's not a, like you switch into one mode and then the other. And then lawyers have no conversation about healing, or about like boundaries and self. And, so yeah, I think I've found that there's like such a need for some more like community, healing. But there's like lawyers are super competitive. And so there's that like toughness, like we don't do that, or there's no time for that. And the other thing that I've been doing a lot of is some community like coalition and organizing work against the prison industrial complex, mass incarceration, specifically solitary confinement. And in that work, some folks are having conversation about like healing and relationships and how to support, because there are, I come as a white person who hasn't been incarcerated and I don't have family members who've been incarcerated. So the sort of the risk and the vulnerability and like what I'm sharing in those meetings is like often pretty intellectual. So like, what does it mean to make much more like heart connections with people? And also what is healing? Like how do the groups that I'm a part of involve a lot of folks who have been incarcerated themselves or family members, and like how do we hold a space that's healing when people are sharing their own incredibly traumatic experience, and then we're like jumping to the next agenda item or like, you know, people are sharing that in a public way in a rally or in a meeting with a, you know, target, and like how to like pull back and also just be healing and take care of each other.
Thank you, Megan. I think most of us went. So, Melissa, do you feel like you want to jump in or move? Should I move?
I mean, I feel like I kind of answered it a little bit at the beginning. I think I resonate with a lot of what everyone's saying. I think my main thing is feeling like I'm the one person at the organization that holds you know, the whole big bucket of care. And so anything happens, that I'm the person that is called, and it does feel isolating, and I feel like I always have to have my shit together. And I can't fall apart in front of those people. So part of my healing is trying to, feel like I can be myself, like bring my full self more to the work. And finding some boundaries. The other thing is it's kind of a 24/7 on-call situation. So just finding some boundaries, like internal boundaries around the work, and bringing the work of anti-racism into my spiritual work, like deepening that particular spiritual work. That's what I'm interested. So I'm resonating with a lot of what everyone's saying. Check.
Thanks, Melissa. Okay. Do a little shake. Body, do like an actual stretch, moving around. Take some deep breaths. You can exhale through your mouth. Okay, I'm going to offer two, and we're moving towards closing right now, but I want to offer two offerings in terms of how to begin this next thing. we're only really going to spend about 6 or 7 minutes. So you can either do it visually with a piece of paper and a pen or some markers or whatnot, or you could also just like actually get off screen and do it in your body, and I'll just hold the space of like the time that we're doing. So the question is like, what is your healing journey? What has it been up to this point? So if you were to map that out, then what does that look like? And again, so I'm offering two possibilities. This is one that like you're actually writing down like visually, like whatever a map looks like for you in terms of like your healing journey that has brought you to this point. Or you can just like get off screen and move around for the next 6 or 7 minutes and like experience that in your body and like what, how does it manifest? And I'll let folks know when we just have like a minute left. So I just encourage you to, I'm going to spend this time just with yourself answering that question. So what is the map of your healing that has brought you to this place? I'm going to take another minute. And remember, it doesn't have to be complete. We can also continue to move with this for the rest of the week. All right. Really, what I would love is if we were spending the whole weekend together, we were all in person, we'd have all this time to just do that. But we're going to take a pause on that. So just encourage you to work with this for the rest of the week as well, the next 2 weeks. And if you did a drawing, or even if you did like an embodied practice, you know, just ask yourself, like, you know, what's coming up for me, what's arising, what's interesting, what's challenging about this journey, and write some things down in your journal, or write some things down. Any questions about that? Are there any questions before I close? No? Okay. So how I'd like to close tonight is asking this question of ourselves of what is beautiful about how I showed up, something I contributed, something I thought, something I imagined, something that was inspiring. And we can just close out that. And let's say our names. Just say your name. I think there's something different that happens when you say your name. And just spend about 30 seconds as we're like closing out, saying goodnight to something beautiful that we're taking away from tonight. And if you feel resistant to naming something that you did or said, then I encourage you to go there. If you feel ambiguous, then, you know, you can go wherever.
I definitely, with the storytelling, got really into like what is the right thing to do. I don't get it, and what am I supposed to say? And enjoyed letting go of that and saying something like kind of fun and felt like silly in a great way. So thank you.
It's Melissa. I'll piggyback on that, what you said, Megan. I got so stuck on like picturing collapse that I couldn't get out of that. I was like, how the hell is other people like not stuck with the, you know, environmental disaster and collapse of society? So I love that people felt hopeful, and I really did, the more people shared, really feel like, okay, all right, yeah, all right, this is great because other people are feeling hopeful, and that's making me move past just the fear of the something ending. So that's something I want to sit with. So thank you all.
It's Anna. I was trying to suspend some of the judgment and criticism of myself, and I also really appreciated what you said at the beginning about speaking from the I, but for the with the group in mind is something I really appreciated. So
I'll say Abby's out loud. Abby, I hope we can hear your voice soon.
My name is Abby. I enjoy the invitation to use our bodies with a prompt and dancing my healing journey. I find I get a lot more information when I work through a non-intellectual way. Thanks, everyone.
This is Kara, and mine is similar to Abby's. I'm proud of myself that I did that last prompt as an embodied practice instead of journaling it, because I normally love to journal and just like be in the intellectual space and like have something tangible to read later on. But I appreciate that invitation.
This is Willa. I feel like being present has been something that's been hard for me recently, and I feel like proud of myself for the ways that I was like more present in this space. And I feel like I took the healing journey map seriously and like gathered new data from that. So I'm grateful that I like dug a little bit deeper than just my story.
My name is Erin, and with like how fresh my feelings were at the beginning of this, I feel like I could have just like signed out and isolated myself, gave myself a little bit of a breather, and came back, and also didn't shut down and decided to share still. So.
I'm Jenny. I really appreciate, Jordana, your insistence on caring for yourself in the space. I felt really sleepy and just like needed to be comfortable. And so I just like allowed myself to be in that space for this time. And usually I wouldn't, and I would just kind of, as you said, endure it. I was able to be more of myself in the space because I was actually doing what I wanted with my body.
Thank you. And I think Kat had left, so that only leaves me. Oh geez, y'all, it has taken a lot to get here, let me say, every step of the way. I feel really thankful that we're here and that I kept showing up to something that was deeper, that was like really asking this of me. I feel like a lot of times I'm just like constantly listening to so many patterns and like what's happening on the collective level, and I was being asked to really do something different, like from folks, in terms of like people were really excited about me leading things around white anti-racism and spirituality. And while that this is very integrated in this, I also was like hearing like a deeper call and need for us to like really like gather at the center of care. And so I had a lot of doubt in the calling of it. And I'm glad that, you know, saw it through. I think these spaces are so nourishing and important and vital. And I feel really thankful for you all for showing up and all the ways that you've showed up. And I feel I'm honored to be on this journey with you and to support you as you dig a little deeper. You know, healing is not a quick fix. I think in part, one thing that was really coming up for me when folks were talking about healing and our bodies and our organizations and all of that is that I think one of the reasons why healing isn't very central is because it's super messy, it's super long, and how does that fit into a timeline of capitalism and patriarchy and all the things, you know, and white supremacy? It doesn't. It's not categorized. And our healing, I think a big lesson I definitely learned last year is that there's a big lean towards like healing being this like bright light thing that we're just like all want to do is we want to heal. We really want really get into it. Like healing's hard and it doesn't feel good a lot. And there's a lot of support and care that's needed to inquire and to go deeper. And we just often don't really have the space and time to do that. And I'm not even saying that, you know, in this time that we have together, like that's going to happen. But I hope that we're able to hold a little more space for each other to go a little bit deeper into it. So thank you all for showing up in all the ways and, you know, keep showing up in all the ways. Bring your food, bring your kids, bring your slippers, whatever it is. And I'll be on the line, online, on Facebook. I'll send you out a recording tomorrow. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions or anything comes up. Biggest love. Take care of yourself. Drink water. Sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.